applicant is setting up. So you can feel free to continue.
Thank you.
Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting in Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. And decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Let's call the workshop meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Dr. Zuzula, Mr. Dougherty, Mr. Hawley.
Here.
Mr. Pepe.
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick. Mr. Neff.
Here.
Mr. Cashmo.
Here.
Mr. Josko.
Here.
Mr. Kropinski.
Here.
Mr. Crowther. Mr. Curtis.
Here.
Mr. Burr. Ms. Majewski.
Here.
Okay, let's stand for a silent prayer and the pledge. We have no flag, but we can pretend.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No, that's okay.
I can put the screen up since we're
sure.
Using the TV.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so we're in into public comment for items that are not on the agenda tonight. Jim, why don't you go first, Kyle?
James Kraft, 77 Bayside Drive.
Welcome.
I just want to comment on a couple of the discussion items that you had at the last meeting. I think your express goal to educate the public about how the planning board is supposed to operate is a good goal. However, I kind of doubt that many people will view a video or read a memo. It's probably a good idea to post at least a memo on the website. I think the best way to educate the public is to actually see you folks in action.
Mm-hmm.
And as people come up to question experts to advise them that this is questions only, no comment, and that's the procedure, and the comments are later. And then also explaining decisions. I know he was a little bit verbose, but Ed Centron was very good at explaining why he got to certain conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the limits under the law were as to what kind of decisions that you could make. So I think as you go on to educating the people who come up to speak or ask questions, it's a good way to go. Sort of in that direction, if I move to my second area I want to talk about was the hybrid meetings. Since I sincerely believe that having the public watch you folks in action, to be able to do that virtually would be beneficial. In addition, I think if you can go hybrid in the future, I don't think you're hybrid tonight.
No. We haven't yet voted on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You also enable members who cannot attend in person to attend, and any applications that go multiple meetings, you avoid if they can attend virtually, you avoid having to listen to tapes. And actually, you know, see the exhibits and hear things live and ask questions. I understand Mr. Kakamo's issues about privacy, but on the other hand, it's got to be, I think, a balance of openness. And I think back to decades ago to my law courses, business law courses, they talked about ownership being a bundle of rights. If you're trying to compartmentalize privacy to just a particular neighborhood, I don't know how procedurally you could possibly do that. It just doesn't make sense. And on top of that, I think the kind of decisions that you make that result in precedents, to me, I think that to be as open as possible is the best situation. I know that many of you know that there have been rumors about various things and how decisions were made, and I think that could be at least tamped down a little bit if the meetings are virtual and that more people can attend and listen and see how you make decisions and why you make decisions. So I am urging you to adopt the one hybrid in the future.
Thank you. Good comments. Sir.
Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I was at the last meeting also. Good discussion. Mr. Cockermo, I hear you, but I think the public just needs to be able to, as easily as possible, join these meetings. I think the hybrid option is good. Yes, we suffered through it for two and a half years with COVID, but you see the system you have, and I hear it's very simple to operate once the training is done. So it will be higher quality, a very good presentation to both the people at home and here for the public and yourselves. And I hope that you vote yes for hybrid.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Any other public comments? Okay. Pending litigation.
I'm pleased to report that there is none.
Okay. Other business. I know we were going to vote on, or at least discuss the hybrid option today, but I wonder if, I mean, there are members who have strong feelings about it who aren't here, including Mr. Dougherty, who couldn't make it. I have his views, but I think we would all benefit from having the full board here to talk about the issue before we make a decision. So unless anybody has an objection, let's, I think, put that one off till next meeting, and then let's try to make a decision at the next meeting, because it's something that people have been, you know, pretty concerned about, I think.
Is that something that we have to do in a meeting, or if we hold just a special meeting, discuss that if we needed a full sentence?
Well, you could have a special meeting. It would have to be published and notified, and the public would have access, so it's...
But from what I understand, the borough's not even ready to go with
okay.
this yet.
Good. Okay.
Still looking into some training and some other stuff.
All right. So why don't we put it up for the next one and see if we can bring it to ground.
See how far away it is from being actually implemented? Or is it
hard, you know?
Well, the last I heard is they hooked their laptop up to it and smoked it. This is okay. Brand new.
Really?
IT has that.
Has it been a policy before we made changes that there would be a subcommittee to look into this first?
I don't know if we need one. I mean, let's I'll express our views and okay. vote. You know, it's not a technical issue, right? It's more of a what is the board's view.
Basically,
it would
be up to the council if they tell us you're doing it, we're doing it.
Yeah, true. Although, let's let everybody have their input, and we'll talk about it and see where we come out. Okay. And maybe the issue that you raised, maybe there is some middle ground we can come up with. If there isn't, then we'll go from there. Okay. Any comments on that issue other than the two that we talked about? Okay, great. So let's adjourn the workshop meeting and call the regular meeting to order, please. Roll call.
Dr. Zuzulak? Mr. Dougherty? Mr. Hawley?
Here.
Mr. Pepe?
Here.
Mr. McGoldrick? Mr. Neff?
Here.
Mr. Cacamo?
Here.
Mr. Josko?
Here.
Mr. Kropinski?
Here.
Mr. Crowder? Mr. Curtis?
Here.
Mr. Burt? Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Okay, first up is approval of attorney vouchers for April 2022. Can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I second.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Cacamo?
Yes.
Mr. Josko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Okay, next up, resolution PB22-04, block 1, lot 11.01 and 11.02, 82 Bayside Drive, Soriano, granting bulk variance approval. I am recused from this one, but I'll stay up here unless there's an issue.
That's correct.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Cacamo?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Mr. Crowder? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Staub, I think we have a number of applications that you have comment on.
We have one other resolution before we...
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, number five. This is resolution PB22-05, block 52, lot 27, 125 East Washington Avenue, Lesher, granting bulk variance approval. Motion?
Motion to accept.
I'll second.
Mr. Hawley?
Yes.
Mr. Pepe?
Yes.
Mr. Neff?
Yes.
Mr. Cacamo?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Mr. Curtis?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Staub?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have three applications that were scheduled for this evening. The first of those is PB22-02. It's block 91, lot 6, 33 East Mount Avenue, DeMayo. That's an application for minor subdivision with variances. The applicant requested that that matter be carried to the July meeting as they had witness issues that they weren't able to get their witnesses available for this evening's meeting. So that if anyone is here from the public who has an interest in that application, it is being carried to July 7th, 2022 at 7 o'clock p.m. In this same room. You will not receive further notice. The next item is PB22-06, block 141, lot 1, 102 Center Avenue, Damansky. That's an application for bulk variances. Was scheduled for this evening. However, the applicant did not notice for the meeting. So not having noticed, the board doesn't have a jurisdiction to hear the case this evening, so that will also be carried to the July meeting, and the applicant will have to fully notice for that meeting. The next item is PB22-07, block 34, lot 5, 104 Asbury Avenue, Paskiewicz. That's an application for bulk variances. There also was a defect in their notification. Unfortunately, someone moved in. The tax list that they got had the old property owner. They didn't bother to send to that owner. They delivered it to the new owner, but the statute says that you have to do everyone who's on the tax list that's certified, and therefore we had to carry it. We have to carry it to the July 7th meeting. So if anyone is here who's interested in that application, it's going to be heard on July 7th, 7:05 p.m. in the same room, and you will not receive further notice. The only one who's going to receive notice is the person who moved. So that takes care of the applications, and then we finally have a conceptual review for 160 First Avenue, Kaylee and Companies, and they are here, and the floor is open to you.
My name is Richard Garber. I'm for architects. I don't know if I need to be formally sworn.
Not formal, no.
Okay, so... I won't bore you with my credentials then. We thought it would be a nice opportunity to bring this project, which is actually quite an exciting project in my mind, before the board to get some initial feedback. Now, we are obviously asking for some relief, and we'll talk about that, and that's why we are here for your feedback. The site is about 19,905 square feet. It's a corner site at First and Garfield. So you can see it here, and you can see that we're basically surrounded by vacant land. So this is an existing structure that will be demolished to make way for a new structure. And the one thing that I think is important to just note here is when you look at the majority of the parcels that are around us, they are all basically on the lot line, right? And so they are doing something to hold a little bit of a downtown corridor of a main street here. And so that's something that we've identified as important to us, and I'll explain that in our design here. The building that is situated here now is basically set back to sit in a sea of parking, which is a standard that we, you know, we don't see as much anymore, and so we'll talk a little bit about how we are dealing with the parking. So here we are in the CBD, and so you see us right on the corner again here of First and Garfield, as I mentioned before. And again, we have about 170 feet of frontage and a lot depth of 117 feet. So it's a fairly large lot. These are some views of the parcel. Everyone knows the parcel. And then the side view from Garfield. Before we actually get into the graphic documentation, I like presenting zoning tabulation, and just so everyone is fairly, this is the first time I've been before this board, so we get out in the open exactly why we're here, right? And so if you see on our zoning tabulation chart here, we do comply mostly. And what I mean by that is we are asking for relief. We are asking for what I think would be constituted as a C variance for building height. What is permitted here is 40 feet and 4 stories, and we are proposing 43.6 to top of structure and 4 stories. And so that 43.6 is 3 feet 6 inches. It's less than 10% of a height request, and I believe that would be a C variance. So we are asking for that here, and I'll show you how that works out on the site. And then parking is another parking is a little bit of a larger question for me, and I'm looking forward to hearing the board's thoughts on this. I think everything remands back to the state's RSIS standards for parking, and so when we look at the RSIS standards, we have what is proposed as 4 one-bedrooms, and I'll get into the plan again in a second, and 26 two-bedrooms, which when added together suggests that we would need 60 parking spaces. And that can be reduced by 5 or 10% with the state's new EV standards, right? So the EV standards allow, and by the way, I'm totally for this, I mean, I have an electric car myself, that would allow for spaces to be dual use up to 10%, right? And so the owner would have to agree to install basically a battery, a charger for EV cars, and that is per the RSIS allows us to decrease by 10%, or use 10% of the spaces, I should say. So that gets us to 255 required spaces. What we are proposing here is 48 spaces, but if you add up that EV bonus, which basically doubles the use of 5 of the spaces, we are at 53. So we are technically 2 deficient when you do the math. But I do want to propose that we are at we're proposing 30 units, and with those 53 parking spaces, we average out to about 1.76. Stalls per dwelling units total. And so what's interesting about that is on my initial kind of looking at some precedents, I think that there are projects around us, buildings around us that are parked with lower ratios than that. And we can talk about that a little bit. And the other thing that we looked at, this was fun for me. I grew up very nearby here, actually. So it was good to kind of dig back into some aerial photography and stuff. You can see here, this is a radius map that shows our site at the requisite 200 feet, 1,000 feet, and then we did a 2,500 foot radius from the site, which basically gets us to the water. And you see that we have bus stations that are fairly common around us, and those are those red dots. And then we obviously have the C Street, which is to the north of us, which you can see with that blue dot. And these are all within half a mile. So I think that's important. So whether you ask your phone if you're walking or driving to these things, it's all within like 3 and 10 minutes, something like that. So it is fairly close in terms of public transit. And we do think that some of the residents that will be occupying this structure ultimately will probably take advantage of some of this stuff. Now, in terms of the key points, what you're about to see, as I mentioned, this is a four-story building with our proposed top of structure height at 43 feet 6 inches, so that's a 3'6" deviation requested for the total height. There is a story in there, but the total height deviation is less than 10%. We are proposing 30 residential units, and with the 30 residential units, we have 6 affordable units with 20%, so we are meeting that standard. Our breakdown is 4 one-bedrooms and 26 two-bedrooms, so we are primarily a two-bedroom product, which is important. And the way that we are dividing up our affordable units is 3 each, so 3 of our 4 one-bedrooms are affordable, and then 3 of the two-bedrooms are affordable. We thought that that was an equitable way of doing it. There is an elevator proposed in this building, so it's completely 100% ADA accessible to all residents. That's also something that's now required in code for multifamily. The first floor, as you will see, is composed of a retail space, continuing the retail thrust on the street. We have about 2,141 square feet. Primarily, the ground floor is parking. It's a parking floor, so we have almost 15,000 square feet of parking, which I will show, and then there are building services such as the trash room, package room, transformer room, which we are anticipating, although if we don't need it, we will give that back to what ends up being 2 parking spaces. Talk about that in a second too. I like thinking about these things even at very preliminary levels of building design, because ultimately these things take up space. And the last thing that we want to do is come back to your board and say, well, I didn't think about the trash room, and here we are, and so now we're going to lose a parking spot because we need one or something like that. So it's important that I pull that out. And then I mentioned 48 parking spaces divided into 34 standard. We do have tandems in there, 8 tandems, 2 ADA required, and then 12 compact. So our site plan, and again, this is first, this is Garfield, so again, we have about 170 or so feet of frontage here, 117 back here. Our retail is right at the corner, which we think makes a lot of sense for the building. And then you see that we would have, a driveway access on Garfield, so on the secondary street, so as not to create any kind of queuing issues for our building. We have a retail entry here, which is the non-filled triangle, and then here the residential lobby, which is fairly centrally located. Why a transformer vault? So increasingly, as we our firm does a lot of these mixed use and multifamily buildings, and increasingly in municipalities, we're having to provide additional power, because what happens is the street infrastructure, even though these things are permitted by zoning or statute or whatever, the street infrastructure sometimes cannot handle the loads. So we put them in. And I will be the first to come back and say, well, we don't need this thing after all, and we pick up 2 additional parking spaces, but we thought it would be necessary to include it now. You can see that our building is set back, so this gray area is actually a kind of pervious paver that we have that is helping us with our site coverage requirements, and then we're parking back here along the property line. So that's how you get a sense of what this is. And again, we are proposing here 53 total parking spaces, and that includes the EV credit. There are 55 required by RSIS standards. First floor plan, this is just a zoom in. I think I talked about that a little bit. What's highlighted in orange is the building circulation, so the egress, right? So we have our building lobby, which is where you would access the elevator and one of the stairs. And then we have a second stair that is on the north end of the site, which has a dedicated corridor to get folks out in the event they need to. As we go up, what you see here is how the building begins lining up. And this is a long site, so it lines up very well as a bar typology, right? The building is kind of long and low, with a double-loaded corridor servicing our plans. our units in plan. And the color coding here is that the green units are the affordable units. So we are imagining that our whole second floor east side are affordable units. There's no building behind us right away or anything. These are still going to get perfectly good light and air and things like that. And we are imagining a series of balconies as well. And then we have in the front, and the way that our plan breaks down, we have on the front row, there are all two bedrooms, so that these are these units here. And then on the rear, we have a series of one bedrooms with two bedrooms on the corners, basically. And that's how we get to those six ones and 24 twos. You'll also notice, even in plan, very preliminarily, we're imagining these decks here, and these decks kind of bite into the building. So that means is when we get to the elevation, or you see the 3D view, we're breaking down the scale of this thing. This is a multifamily building. They're all multifamily buildings in Highlands for sure, but at the same time, we know that there's a lot of single-family housing stock also, so we're cognizant about how we propose a building that actually breaks down scale here. As we move up, the third floor and the fourth floor basically stack, and what these are is all two bedrooms, actually, on the third floor, and then our fourth floor is our top floor. We are setting back a little bit, you see, so we have this kind of deck space here, and I'll show that in the 3D view as well. And what that does is it crunches the width of the unit here a little bit more between the lot line and our stair and elevator floor, so that becomes a one bedroom. So we have one bedroom on the fourth floor. The roof is a non-occupiable roof, so what you're seeing here in terms of the elevators and stairs, these are just the penthouses that pop up. One of these stairs, per code, needs to be accessed to the roof. Nothing else does. The roof is not for for tenant use or anything like that. Very quickly, building section. So this is our building, how it lays out again. So this is the bulkhead penthouse. So these are not counting toward our height, but our top of structure, which is basically this line here where I have the back of the mouse, that's the top of roof, that's at the 43.6. And so as you see, as we lay out, let's zoom in a little bit here, we have from first to second floor, a 12-foot floor to floor, and so that's going to give us a little bit extra ceiling height for that retail as well as the parking. And then our floor-to-floor heights, excuse me, are imagined at 10 feet 6 inches. So even if we were to use a 16-inch truss or something like that, which is increasingly common in wood structures like this, we'll still have a floor-to-ceiling height that is better than 9 feet. And that's important to us, right? So we want to be around that, at least at that 9-foot level. Haven't gotten to construction of this yet, but that's what we're thinking. And then this is a very preliminary, just 3D view that we thought we would share with the board, where we have, you can see here that setback that I spoke about on the fourth floor. So what that means is we're really holding a street wall at three stories. And that street wall being held at three stories, I think, makes a lot of sense given the context. We're setting it back. We're also creating a color difference where we have a kind of darker colored material at the base of the building and up to the third floor. So you really kind of read that as a mass that is contrasted with a lighter fourth story. That mass is still broken down a little bit by these decks that punctuate it. That I mentioned before, that actually cut into it and cut out of it a little bit, that establishes a little bit of a rhythm on the street. So that's what we have to present. And we're seeking relief in two places. One is the C variance for height, where we're looking for another 3 feet 6 inches. And the other is what I suspect will be a little bit of a larger discussion about the RSIS standards, how we're interpreting them, and parking for this building. So, thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments?
I had a couple of questions. Can you just go back to the 3D elevation? Is that planting on the bottom on First Avenue?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you envision that?
So we have a series, let me see if I actually show them in plan. We probably don't at this schematic level. You see them here, yeah. So if you can see here what we are doing, our lot line is basically here, where I have the hand. Can you see my hand?
No.
You can't see my hand.
You can't see, you can see that.
Oh, yeah. There's the hand.
There you go.
So this is our lot line. So we're setting back from our lot line modestly. I think that's about 30 inches or something like that, and that will be basically a vegetative buffer that we have.
Great. And on the left side, so if you could go back to the, yeah, there you go, on the top of this view, there's the building, the new building next to it.
Yeah.
What is in between the two? Is that a gap, or are you abutting the two buildings?
Yeah, I should have said that when I had up the aerial, right? So right, I showed the aerial that there's nothing there, but we know that there is a building planned there, yes. We are at about... I don't have a dimension on this, but it's a fairly de minimis. It's about about 8 inches from the lot line.
Mm-hmm.
We have no windows on that side wall, so there's not a kind of light and air issue. There's no side yard requirement in the CBD, so going that width, I think is. I think it meets the intent of the CBD to have kind of buildings lined up establishing
street. That was actually my question. Are they going to be close to abutting, or how far apart are the two buildings going to be on that side?
I'm sorry. Do you know how close the proposed structure next door is? I don't know off the top of my head.
Since it's our structure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right.
It's a foot. It's very small.
Very small.
Very small.
Okay. And
that's a really good question.
I was wondering why you don't put them.
Yep.
Instead of having a 6-inch gap.
Yeah, I mean, having space of a foot and a half is pointless.
Yeah, I mean, if this gets approved, I mean, you're going to want it to look like a streetscape in a downtown area of town. Everything, right up against each other.
So
we can put up an MCO.
Yeah. We're happy to increase our electrical room here, push everything back and take it to the lot line.
I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but that's just, looking fast.
Really, really good point. Yeah. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
You won't want someone hanging out there.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's a typical, if you look all up First Avenue, all the buildings are right next to each other.
All right, buildings,
Mr. Holloway, any fire issues with that?
The construction material, I believe you said it was wood frame. Building that size, which I really don't care for in that location, right when you come into town, but something of that size should be, I'd have to look and see, but it should be at wood five.
It would probably be, it's definitely type five. So we'd have to talk a little bit about how we do the parking structure. There's going to be some non-combustible, construction in that parking structure and then wood above. I mean, increasingly we're getting calls of doing multifamily and wood in New Jersey. I mean, it is, for better or for worse, it is prohibited statewide.
Maybe you could turn on the news at least once a month and see where one of these places stick frame.
It may not be that frequent, but I hear you for sure. So basically what we are required to do at the lot line is obviously no apertures, no windows or anything like that. And there would have to be a non-combustible assembly that is included with that wood. So that's usually attained by exterior grade gypsum board or something like that on the exterior
structural members.
You have to protect the structural members, that's right. Yeah. So that, but if you're, I mean, if the question is it recognized as a valid means of construction, the answer is absolutely yes. I mean, I'm not suggesting everyone does it right, but we do. I'm happy to share with you.
Well, it meets code. It's just it hasn't been proven yet. It shouldn't be done that way.
Can I ask? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, regarding the parking, I appreciate how you kept the bulk of it off of First Ave,
I believe that parking that takes up an entire first floor just creates like pedestrian dead zones. And on the pedestrian front, I guess that's my main concern, because right now we're going from a, you know, as you said, a pretty wide open frontage with the surface parking lot that's on First to something that's, you know, much closer to the street. So I guess I'm just concerned that there'd be ample room, you know, following like the NACDO guidelines and suggestions of the sidewalk. I don't see a dimension of the sidewalk. But I know that could get a little bit tight feeling, especially if we're going up three levels, you know, same level, and then it steps back. And I know you have some planting there.
Yeah, we can certainly get a dimension of that sidewalk for you, and what we can think about that a little bit. So our building, the way that our building works, and this might not have been clear when I was showing it before, is we actually so if I can zoom in here. Okay. It actually, the building is set in at the lot line to make room for the planters, because we can't put the planters in the right of way, and then we cantilever back partially over that. And so what that means is that the width, like, you're going to feel the wall of the building actually set into our site a few feet, and then it comes back over you, where it cantilevers back out over that inset to our lot line. So the width of the, I mean, we're not suggesting we're doubling the width of the sidewalk or anything here, but you know, we find that that's, I'll get a dimension for you, but I do think just graphically, it seems like, given the volume of pedestrians, this is probably okay. I can, I need point taken for sure. Yeah.
Are these assigned parking spots?
Not quite sure how we would do that yet.
I really haven't thought about that. And it could be or not. And what's the difference between the regular parking spots and the compact parking spots? So there's 12 marked off for compact cars?
Yeah. So regular parking spots are defined by code at 9x18. Compacts are, I think, 8.5x16. But the way that these work is, if you see how we're lining them up, let me go back to our parking. If you see how we're lining these up, we have them labeled, they're all labeled compact here, so we have three here, for instance. These actually are only, they change in width, but they don't change in depth. In other words, so we're still providing a full 18-inch depth of stall. It's just that we can save a little bit of space by shaving, you know, 6 inches off or so off of the compact spots. It's very common, you know, in these kinds of multifamily things. And you know, a lot of people drive, you know, standard size cars, actually, believe it or not, fit in compact spots. I mean, it's, but
does it make any more sense to put some of these compact spots and double them up as the EV spots?
It's possible. That EV F-150 is coming out. I don't know if that's going to necessarily, you know,
I'm on a list of a Hummer, so.
But I heard there's something like a 300,000 person wait list or something crazy.
But just thinking, if there's a fair amount of cars that are not electric and not compact, you know, there's a way, obviously, you're short on parking.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, we'd have to look at that. I mean, the thing about
creative a little bit.
Yeah, the thing about the EV spots is they need to, and this one may actually be a little bit of an issue. We might have to rethink that one. The EV spots basically need to back into a wall, because you need the, you know, the conduit infrastructure to plug the car in. But that's something we can certainly, you know, I would say that I don't have a strong opinion about that, and if the board wanted to see the compacts given to the EV spots, I don't
think
we have.
Those ones, top left?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah,
we'd have
the wall,
right. Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah.
Are you talking about your minimum as far as the size of the back parking lot in according to the building?
Minimum of the...
As far as size, can you... problem in Atlantic is, if we ever drove through town, we have side streets, buildings on First Ave are so close to First Ave that you're literally halfway through the crosswalk before you can see the road. And all these buildings that are being built on First Ave are so close to the street, you can't see around the corner until you're halfway, more than halfway through the crosswalk.
Okay.
My question is it possible, is there any room to move the building back even 3 feet? Would make a huge difference.
Isn't there a requirement for a site line to move a vehicle on the corner? Are we meeting that?
25.
Because that was going to be my question.
So I think when we ultimately come back with a full application, we'll have an expert to testify. You know, usually we'll bring that.
We measured the site triangle there.
We did.
So there is. Okay. But the square may end up being rounded on units or subcourt.
On the corner? On the corner?
Yeah, the retail would be round.
Yeah, we could potentially do something with that edge. That's a good point.
It's a fair point. I mean, there are a couple of buildings at first. Yeah, right.
So we usually get, there's usually concerns with pulling out, and that's one of the reasons why, because I don't think there's anything that precludes curb cuts on First, but we thought that Garfield is a little bit more of a quieter street, so that's why we have the curb cut there. There's usually signage that we would provide in terms of, and you know, you could do lights and even audio, like audible for people walking there. We'll make sure we have the segments covered, though. I suspect we'll be okay. We'll maybe round off that.
That round the corner, I mean, even if you look, and going back to the pedestrian traffic issue, I mean, that's the narrowest part, and sort of sticking out, that would actually be a nice change.
Sure.
That's
fine. That proposes a singular retail space, or...?
So as of now, we're showing one door access from First. I suppose, I mean, cutting out much smaller than this is probably, I mean, I guess it could be done. You know, you have two about 1,000-foot spaces. There is certainly, I don't believe there's anything in the ordinance that would preclude us having a retail opening on Garfield. So we could subdivide that way if need be.
What is the current retail space now, square footage wise, do you have
anything?
I don't have that information.
Bigger.
Because
it runs the whole length of the
campus. I just didn't know what size wise compared to what.
Yeah, it's a little bit larger than what we're proposing, I'm sure, but it's not that. It's probably, I mean, I would venture that it's maybe. Yeah, it's probably twice the size,
okay.
Something like that. Well, we'll figure that out.
How does the height, I forget the prior application, which was a couple of years ago, how does the height of this building compare to the new one that's being constructed right next door, do you know?
The current building that we're building now, they have 10-foot ceilings in every floor.
I remember, you asked for, I think you got a variance for the ceiling.
Yeah, variance for height.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we were not involved. We sort of inherited the approvals from Mr. Savai.
Yep.
That's
how
the
approvals
usually.
Could you?
No, but this building will be a few feet higher.
It'll be up.
Yeah, it'll be 5, 6, 7 feet higher.
Is the other building also 4 floors? The other building?
No, it's only
three. Three, but they have a rooftop. Well, they had a rooftop garden.
They have a rooftop deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this one, because we're going four-story, the rooftop wasn't proposed, and we didn't balcony even fit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's more similar to 46 First Avenue, which is built, 18 years ago. That also has some variance.
Yeah.
Four.
So
we're looking
at
another question. The garden utilities, I know you spoke a little bit about them.
Sure.
So, but the mechanical load is going to be on the outside top of the screen there.
Right, so this is north, actually, facing up. So it's okay. So what we have, so again, I after speaking with Mason and Tyler, I think they may have thought that I was a little bit. Proposing a transformer vault for a building like this is, it may be overkill. But I have to tell you, we're working all over the state at this point, and we will get you know, JCP&L or PSE&G saying, you know, we'll ask for 2,000, we'll get 1,500, and we'll say, well, that's going to brown us out in the summer, and they'll say, you're a problem. You know, so I want to make sure that we're thinking about the quality of these units.
Yeah, and I was thinking more along the lines of like aesthetics, where were the electric meters, the gas meters,
so
the AC units placement?
So the condensers we can put on the rooftop, and you'd not see them, they're small. And then I think, and this is always, you know, something to deal with the utility, but I would imagine the utility would be open to us putting meters on a wall interior to the garage, so you wouldn't see them on the exterior of the building. That would be my push. You know, sometimes these guys, they don't want to get out of their cars, they just want to shoot the meter, but I do think that, you know, aesthetics matter to us. You know, I mean, we're gonna, so I, my hope would be that we could put them internal to the building but still have them fairly easily accessible to the utility.
How many?
Like Mr. Kirk said, this is an extremely large building. Like I said before, it's right at the entrance of town, and it's going to be pulled up on the sidewalk. As he suggested, would there be any way with property that's available behind this project to be acquired and set this back 20 feet off of the sidewalk?
Well, I mean, we can certainly talk to the client about that, but I would say, and I understand, well, assuming the safety issue that you brought up before, I mean, I certainly understand where you're coming from. I mean, my, you know, without, I don't want to overstep anything here, but I would actually say that it's precisely the positioning of this building that you want it to hold the corner, because you want to establish...
But when you come off of... Highway 36 down First Avenue, and you see this thing right there. We already have 158 there.
Yeah.
But you're looking at the side of it with the deli and the liquor store there, and we're just going to move that up a block toward the highway. If that were set back 15, 20 feet, it wouldn't be so intrusive.
Yeah, I mean, again, my read of the CBD is to encourage, and admittedly there's to the other point that was made.
But this is residential, and we have only a few hundred square feet of retail in there. So you talk about the CBD, we're actually putting a residential unit in that zone now.
As a right, permitted, right.
90% of it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, I understand the point. I would say that, you know, if there's any place in town, and again, I don't want to overstep my bounds, right, but that you want to hold a corner, it may be here.
Well, personally, I don't want to speak for anybody else on the board. This would be ideal for Hoboken or Jersey City, not Atlantic Highlands, in my opinion.
Do you have an aerial shot that shows where this goes back on the property now? One thing is, when you drive off 36 now, you see the side of our other building. It's, to be fair, we didn't design it. It's kind of just a big other wall because it's the stair tower. This building is going to be much nicer looking on that corner. It's going to hide that.
But we've heard a lot about that too, of 158.
Yeah.
Windows there, there's just a nest there, paint murals on it. It is, what do you let them build that for?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't design it, but it would hide that big other wall. You can't put windows in by code.
Yeah. I know that. You know that. The general public doesn't know.
Well, the reason is because another building would come up and butt up right against it, like we were talking about before.
And,
right.
And again,
we have that in the middle of town already.
We did the stone and the brick to kind of pretty it up a little bit, but it's still a solid wall. With this building there, that side is going to be nice retail glass downstairs, and it's going to be much nicer.
Personally, I don't see the issue. I mean, if you go to the part of the nice part of First Avenue, right?
Yes.
All the buildings are just like this, right? One after the next, after the next, after the next. You go to Hoboken, you go to Jersey City, you go to Red Bank. The towns that everybody considers to be the nicest towns, they look just like this. So I don't have that same view, but the poor bite. So I mean, it's important to address all of it.
Yeah, I think this is a great conversation to have. Actually, I mean, my sense is that, you know, the this in terms of your zoning map, this is, you know, First Ave is the place where you want to encourage lot line buildings. There's no setback requirements on the front or sides. And so the buildings all touch one another, and ideally, they, as you know, things kind of emerge or reemerge or whatever, that there's going to be a kind of pedestrian intensity that is going to make sense for retail establishments.
I have a comment. I think that building will really nice lined up with the existing building. I think it would be beneficial to you if you show us a rendering of that whole street.
Put the two together.
That whole street.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I got one more question. What kind of exterior products were you going to use? Are they going to be arts art?
Again, this is so preliminary that feedback from you will help us design it, how we want to go into the report on that.
A rendering of the whole street.
I think to Marty's point, I agree that wall is not very nice to come in and see it. Mm-hmm. I think this will block that wall, and it will have, if you see the side elevation, Richard, if you go to the side elevation, yeah. You'll see it's going to have windows, it's going to have the retail downstairs, it's going to have glass. It's going to look a lot better than that just blank wall, right? So right now, we have that big wall that you look at.
Yeah.
This will hide it and will look
better. But like Mr. Curtis said, too, I agree with him. If we could set this building back 15, 20 feet and put a greenway out front or something.
Yeah, I think that there has to be thought given to that buffer zone. Like, you know, even if you're not planning on doing retail anywhere else besides that corner, to give the feeling that there could be, like, cafe tables or, like, you know, a couple with a baby carriage could walk next to somebody who's walking their bike. And, you know, because on First, there are a couple instances, you know, downtown where it gets denser, where the building is so close up, and then there's like a shrub here, and you really got to kind of shuffle through. And you know, you mentioned pedestrian, like an intensive pedestrian activity or something before, and it is going to get denser here, especially with the building going in right next door. So
is that in the town, the sidewalk is wider, right, Mark? You know, where we are now, there's plenty of room, there's plenty of sidewalks.
It looks like
I don't think we're going to mess with that.
It looks like it's wider because the sidewalk's there. Well, there's like a 158. Does the sidewalk is there, plus you have that little curb line going to their parking lot at 160. So it appears to be wider, but it's actually not.
There's no benches, there's no... there's a lot of stuff that's been more...
I think
that
the building will make it look completely out of place. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I think what we can do to mitigate...
And we have to deal with the people next door. That's not very easy. They're difficult. So, well, we managed to get, after begging them to get that parking for our construction vehicles, we literally had to beg them. There are more changes every year. So it's never the same person you're talking to after 6 months.
Mm-hmm. But also, I mean, the facades of these two buildings have to match. You can't have one building. Yeah. It'd be like Lego blocks.
I don't think you're right. And we've had other applicants and new built buildings, and we never asked them to set back the buildings. And it's not like he can. He doesn't own the property.
I actually think you're doing more by having this buffer.
I think you're doing exactly with the plant and setting back the front, you know, from the rock.
And it's hard to see from here, from the rendering, but that's how tall is that area?
About 12 feet.
So 12 feet. So you're gonna you have 3 feet of plant on your right as you're walking down the street.
My note that I just took, just to when we come back, we're gonna do a sidewalk section, so you'll really kind of understand what that space is, and you'll see all the dimensions and heights and so forth. And then we're definitely gonna do a colored elevation of the street and then an axon of the street, so you get a sense of how this building not only contextually fits from a bulk point of view, but also just how it aligns aesthetically and so forth.
And that corner too, so you know, consider the corner around.
They're rounded. Yeah, yep.
One other question, you said on the second floor.
Yes.
How many affordable units did you say the whole floor is going to be?
The rear of the second floor is where we decided to concentrate the affordable units, and that was just more of a decision because we decided when we did the 20% calculation on 30, we needed 6 units. And we just found an opportunity here where we have alignment of 6 units that happen to be 3 2-bedrooms and 3 1-bedrooms, and we wanted to provide both.
And so there's no 3.
No 3-bedrooms.
The count, I'm not sure, we have to go back and find out exactly. Now, we will probably ask that the 3-bedroom gets eliminated and putting in and accepting the 2-bedroom instead, or many towns have accepted that, because in towns in a department building, none of these 3-bedrooms are leasing for a family with kids, and because it's really not appropriate for a family to live in with kids. So they're giving relief on the 3-bedrooms.
Right.
We'll put it in, but
we have to go. I'd have to ask Mr. Side, but we have to go by our fair share housing element.
Yes.
That went through the court system, and we were one of a number of towns that had to settle for their plan.
We received a waiver on West Lincoln because they were all 2-bedroom units, so we did not build any 2-bedroom for the units.
Now that's going to have to go through Mr. Serenian's office.
Yeah, Serenian's office.
I've been working with her talking about.
As long as it meets our element, I don't
have that's my point. But I wanted to say, he's saying 3 2-bedroom and 3 1-bedroom. We will do it whatever way Serena's office suggests, and we're going to ask for a relief on the 3-bedroom because, I mean, this is experience from other towns. We're not proposing any other 3-bedrooms on this. It's all 2-bedrooms and a few 1-bedrooms, and the 3-bedrooms really play very similarly to 2 people. They never have families. Kids, very difficult for kids to live in an apartment setting like this. I mean,
what I mean by kids,
like 2 or 3 kids, it's
just
not,
we still have to look after that fair share housing on the borough side, and then we can defer that to Mr. Serena, and he can make a decision on it, whether it meets it or not.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we were in with a number of other towns, and this is the settlement that we came with the judge, where this could be a costly endeavor for the
next. Again, that's why we're going to make sure it's going to be acceptable. We're not proposing 3 and 3, we're proposing 6 low-income housing, low-income housing, and we're going to try and discuss that with Serenian's office, and he may go back to Trenton and try to see if there's a way we can get that 3-bedroom wave. It's happened in many, many towns, and Andrew Janu, who's the planner, I spoke to him, and he said, yes, I've testified in many towns that these, there's a line in the way put in 2 bedrooms instead of 3 bedrooms.
Again, we'll do whatever you require.
Whatever you require, we'll comply 100% with
the. But that would be up to the attorneys to make sure that you're going to meet the requirements.
Of course.
Just want to throw it out here. We're here to further discussion. Great. That's all. One other thing I have. I know we can't just take construction materials or whatever, but a problem that we're running into now with a lot of municipalities switching over to the county radio system, EMS, PD are going on ultra-high band radios, and the construction materials are hindering the radio signals coming out of the buildings.
Right, because they're denser.
I'm going to 158 next Tuesday. We're doing a test with PD Fire and look. Trying to circumvent bringing in an outside vendor just to see if these radios will work. Once we get that done, and with part of other buildings in town, but that's a different story. But please keep that in mind when you're building that, or we'll have to put repeaters and stuff in.
Yeah.
As fire is still on low band.
Yeah.
PD EMS went to ultra high band, and that signal's just not
cut. So we just finished a hotel in East Brunswick and basically had to put repeaters in for this very reason. So, I mean, we obviously will comply, you know, and I'm happy to have.
Okay, just keep that in mind with your construction materials. I know we can't get through that, but just keep that in mind, please.
Well, I was gonna ask though, because our construction materials currently are gray and white. So, I mean, in terms of materials, you know, we were thinking a kind of brick base to kind of hold things, but we would experiment with other, you know, we these kinds of projects are getting, you know, we see a lot of cementitious fiber panel, which is a very rigid and durable board, but clean, you know, clean line type thing. So I think that there's nothing in the ordinance particularly that drives us to one material over another. But is there anything that the board is very sensitive to that we should know about?
The less, you know, unique and forward thinking you try to make it, the better, right? Traditional, you know, this is a downtown. Historic looking downtown. Up first, and let's keep it.
Try to match next door.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll take it.
Next door's
to make
turn
it
out
like, not exactly the same, nice. But we'll make it.
Like giant paneled sheets of thing that looks like metal but isn't metal. That sort of look is not.
Metal looks like we don't do fake materials. So, but okay, got it. Understood. Soft.
Okay. All the hardy sidings are nice too. All the cement core type siding and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking for this, actually.
It's a good material, and it lasts a while. It looks nice.
Yeah.
Not cheap vinyl, but it looks
good. No, no.
Yeah, I like the vinyl. Okay.
No vinyl.
So you're here for...
We've built so far in this town, it's turned out really... You have the hardy brick, and that's what we use to bring in.
So you're here for, basically, I mean, the two things you're going to come before the board on are the height... And the parking.
I believe so, that's it.
I mean, yeah. We've talked a lot about aesthetics and, you know, just putting the buildings together and.
A triangle will have to comply with.
Yeah, yeah. But so, I mean, does anybody have strong views about the parking or the height?
No, just that they're going to square away their affordable units with the other term.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there any plan for like a massive backup generator somewhere that's going to be, because there's something that looks big, it would have to be very large.
So the way that the code is written is that generators are required if you do, for a building this size, if you don't do a horizontal separation in the hallway. Now, we haven't talked about this at all yet, but so if you don't have a generator, with that, ultimately you're going to have some kind of backup power here because your lighting and stuff needs, but you're talking about a generator to run the elevator. So if there's no generator to run the elevator, and it would be sizable, it's still something that I think could probably be hidden from view either in the rear yard or on the roof.
On the roof.
Yeah. You put it on the roof?
Yeah, it would be probably on the roof. But if we decided not to do that, we could per code, and what that would mean is that we would have to, we would have to take these hallways and basically subdivide them with a 2-hour fire separation so that the entire occupancy of one floor, so call it, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times 2.5 or something like that, call it 30 or something, people would have to fit on one side of the hallway or the other with a fire-rated separation. So that's also fairly popular, and the way that you do that is with cinder block, by the way. You just go right up with CMU block and subdivide the building. So that's something we can talk about. We'll discuss. But it would be...
generators are good for storm resiliency, and they're not such a bad thing to have, as long as they're not like sitting out on the side of the street.
I agree.
The street. They're on the ground, they most likely they're...
We just put one in the red bank, we'll build a small building. It's 24 units, we put a generator, like, there's a reason. We had to have it. I think the water pressure wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. We had to have a pump for the fire sprinkler system.
We had to have a backup.
If there's no power, if there's not enough pressure in the pipes, we had to put a generator in to run that.
If you do do it, I'd recommend, if it's possible, put it up on the roof.
We will create a sight line drawing to show that you cannot see it from the right.
Yeah. We don't want to.
Yep.
We
don't want to. They're very, very loud when you get them that size.
Yeah.
Well, you can put a cover on them with a lot of insulation, and it reduces the decibels in half.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments? Anyone in the public want to?
I think it's just nice that we have the TV.
Thank you, by the way.
Mr. Fisher had a comment.
Just a few comments. Mark Fisher, 9130. Mr. Pepe, your comment about this type of storefront and the type of building in Hoboken and Jersey cities,
yeah.
I'll almost guarantee you that the sidewalks are twice as wide.
Yeah.
You know, they're not 6 feet wide or 8 feet wide. They're much wider. Just a comment with that. Right now, there's two curb cuts in front of 160. They would go away, so that's at least two parking spaces. The in and out from Mike's Deli. So that's one plus to add to the parking situation. The curb cut on East Garfield for the driveway into the parking area already exists, so it's not like we're going to lose anything that's there. The corner, could you put that elevation drawing up?
Yes, that's what I was going to find out here.
Just an idea about that corner, because that is my main exit from my house, mm-hmm. that corner. And although some experts may tell you that the ferry traffic won't be an issue, if you have ever tried to get out of Lincoln, Garfield, or Washington Avenue during the mass exodus from the ferry, you would pull what little lot of hair I have left out.
Yeah.
But the sight line just makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And it's true. Somebody said you have to have your hood halfway into the travel lane to see around that.
Seems like they're more than more.
People definitely get around that. I mean, my son Tyler even suggested cutting completely.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah. Right on a 45, so you can
get on a 45 and have it. The unit above the overhang of the first 12 feet is 12 feet.
Or even the whole corner of the building. When you come into town, it won't be a squared off building.
Squared off on an angle, sticking out a little bit, yeah. I mean, because it's a little bit tilted as well, yeah.
Kudos to Callion for the on-site parking. This seems to be a recurring theme now, which is good. 965 first was the same thing.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher.
And, certainly, if the building height had to grow because of the parking, certainly that should be a consideration for you guys for any building that looks like that.
Yeah.
Because you can't put parked vehicles in a space. And last question, is the building sprinkled?
Of course, got to be.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr.
Thank
Fisher.
You, thank you.
Good comments, as always.
Sarah Call, 3020 Highland Avenue. I have some questions about the parking configuration. Is there a row of parking spots that where they would have to be like double?
We have eight spaces, four spaces, excuse me, that are tandem with two others down here, and that's the only location that would have that.
Okay, so those would have to be like assigned to
A. The assumption would be it would be one unit with two cars and then mm-hmm. and stuff.
Okay. I just want to make sure I wasn't misunderstanding how that
was going out. Nope, good catch.
And then I'm wondering about the balconies on first. What's the depth on those?
Between 5 and 6 feet, still to be determined. And so what they do is they actually, if you remember how I showed this plan, so the dash dot line here, you can see that? No, you can't see that. Hold on. The dash dot line here is our lot line. And so there's a zero setback requirement in the plan. So our building at the second and third floor is on the lot line. It's set back underneath where we have the stretchers and stuff. And so what we're doing is we're carving into that mass to allow for the patios to be set into the units, I think 3 feet, and then project out into the right of way 3 feet. So these actually hang out per code into the right of way as long as we're above 12 feet above finished grade, we can do that. And so it's a nice way to sort of reach into the street a little bit while still, you know, modulating the space of the units themselves.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's the appropriate depth, so they actually feel usable and small is actually useful to folks who conserve the outdoor space. A lot of my questions were asked. I did want to also point out, though, like, this is our, you know, First Avenue is like our Washington Street and Hoboken, our Grove Street in Jersey City, and you do have much bigger sidewalks there. So I think that I would just want to echo some of the sentiments that maybe pushing it back even just a few feet wouldn't be jarring from a consistency perspective along First Avenue, but it might offer a little bit more breathing space right up there along First Avenue for pedestrians. I think we're all seeing with like 158 First Avenue that it can really feel hulking and massive, and so to the extent that we can like open it up a little bit as a design aspect, I think that would be nice. And those are
all my
questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Right, thanks. I think this is great. In the years I've been on the board, this is the first time an applicant's done this that I can recall, so I found it really helpful. And I'm sure you will, because when you come back to the board, you won't be getting these issues when you're actually presenting your application.
Actually, it was, personally, I found it super helpful.
Yeah, this, I think more applicants should do it on a big project. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so can we get a motion to adjourn? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a good month, everyone.